Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My name is Zuka. By day, I work as a software engineer in the Linux Systems Group in Microsoft, in the Azure organization, where I manage the Azure Linux OS that runs on the infrastructure there. And by night, I'm involved in various open source projects. I'm a systemd maintainer, Debian developer, DPDK OTS maintainer, a bunch of other stuff that I consistently forget about. Now, if you read the title of this talk, you might think, hang on, was that really intended to be that provocative? And the answer is yes. Yes, it was. This is my yearly talk to make new friends. Of course, I try to mean it in a positive way. So I want to provoke some thoughts and discussion and see what we can do about this that I consider a problem and that I think we are in a good place to start fixing. But first, even not everybody lives and breathes secure boot, some background, if you're not aware, if you work on bootloaders or boot system, you already know all of this, but just one slide. So in the beginning, we had BIOS, everything was great, the security model was lol as if. In the 2000s, we got UEFI, so Intel, Microsoft, and a bunch of other people got together and created this new protocol for firmwares, and it actually has a security model, which is nice. Now, it gets a lot of mud thrown at it. Every time there's a bug in the news, like the logo phase stuff, people start going, oh, why do we need secure boot? It's always broken anyway. Well, having a security model doesn't mean that everything is perfect or never breaks. It's software. It runs on computers. Of course it breaks. The point is that we have a process to deal with it, and we have an actual security model to follow. So the way it works is that there's a chain of trust that starts in hardware. So for example, Intel BootGuard. So the hardware verifies the trust in the firmware. The firmware verifies the bootloader. The bootloader verifies the kernel. The set of keys and certificates used are in stored in the firmware. I won't go into details in that because it's not too important for this. This is generically called secure boot in a nutshell. Now, this in the 2010s, thanks to the work of a lot of people, like the Garmin maintainer and many others, Linux joined the party finally. We were shut out or out of that ecosystem for a while, and by default, distribution couldn't boot on new hardware. You had to go and fiddle with the BIOS and disable secure boot. This changed in the 2010s, so we have Shim, Grub2, and the kernel lockdown stack, and distribution can work again by default. They are signed with the UEFI third-party CA. You get your shim signed by Microsoft,